Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, green dots where we're able. We do routines to border scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more mid-table. The many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Ma'am, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye! Hear ye! King Shazam's the Terrible! All rise for King Shazam's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table!
Is the dream. The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death, and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, Why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
one. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. What's that sound?
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Hmm, puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Always looking to save the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, just jump over there to the superchat.html. And if you are on the Super Chat Room and you want to join in on the People for People radio network, you can scroll down there. There's a banner, nice banner ad down there for People for People. Wonderful folks over there. Anyway, titled this one to start, I Cannot Stop the Pain. Been doing a whole lot of research for a whole lot of years, and I've been looking out there into the world and looking at all the problems and all that kind of stuff, and come to the conclusion over the years, I'm probably the last person that should be looking out there into this world. I seem to absorb everything like a sponge, and when I do that, it really digs at my soul. You know, it kind of shreds my spirit up, and I get the wind knocked out of my sails quite often because I see all these things that are happening to people in the world. Excuse me, I had to take a drink of my coffee. But I'm looking out there and I'm thinking, there's got to be a way to fix all this. There's got to be a way to help these people in these countries. Like, you know, I mentioned it a few times about Africa, one of the most mineral-rich nations in the world, but has some of the most poor people in the world, and some of the people suffering needlessly in a world that has everything necessary to take care of those people. You know, between the corruption and the gangs and the greed and all the crazy stuff, I went down a lot of rabbit holes, looked at a lot of different things, seeing, you know, all the different ways that the people were not only living their lives in misery, but in jeopardy of their health and you know, just utter poverty and that kind of stuff, having to risk their lives just to go out there and dig up something like gold, you know. A lot of us take for granted the things that we got in this world. We take for granted all the goodness that we're surrounded by. If you're listening in on this broadcast, chances are you've pretty much been blessed, even though you may have had a pretty hard life, because there's a lot of us, you know, we're the working poor, so to speak, and we're sometimes thinking our life is really bad. But in comparison to others around the world, we got it pretty good. You know, and there's a lot of brilliance out there. There's a lot of good people, a lot of good-hearted souls that are out there trying to make a difference in the world, trying to make the world a better place. That's what the United Nations was supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about protecting the world, human rights and such. But I look back at the... I don't just look at the things that are going on. I look back at the time frame of all the different things that we've talked about throughout the years on this show. And it's been going on for so long. So many different atrocities around the world, you know. And from a biblical sense, you could say that everything that has been spoke about in Revelations, wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famine, pestilence, and all that kind of stuff, one would have to think that we quite literally are living in the last days according to the biblical reference. Now, I get it. There's so many people out there who's been turned away from God and turned away from anything spiritual or any type of religion. Just the word in itself, religion, is a taboo, you know. And there's, you know, very few people these days are even willing to talk about it, and very few people these days even believe it's anything. You know, we hear stories of suicides in the younger generation all over the place. We hear people that are so depressed and discouraged with everything and willing to finally give up and just give away their life, you know. And that's a terrible thing. That's a tragedy. So when I'm thinking about all this kind of stuff, and I'm thinking about all the possible solutions, and then I'm listening to people speak, and I'm hearing people say, you know, some people say, oh, you'll never be able to change this, you'll never be able to change that, there's no way to fix it, all this kind of stuff, you know, it gets really discouraging after a while. I put together this platform in the Knights of the Round Table quite some years back, and it was basically whenever it used to be on TNS Radio, that then changed names and then eventually went by the wayside. And had a lot of good people on the show, had a lot of shows, a lot of you know, really good content. And so I held in there for all those years of coming around to a point in time where I have to renegotiate and try to figure out whether or not it's worth keep going on. Now, I've got aging computers that are basically, you know, on their last leg. And I have to renegotiate my deal for the actual broadcast itself. I'm looking into another company that I'm thinking about doing that actually has a couple, you know, extra things. Like it has a free mobile app thing that goes with it, so people on mobile phones would just be able to download that app and listen to this radio show. It's slightly more per month for that specific service. That's not counting all the rest that I do behind the scenes that I don't necessarily really talk about to people. But I've invested a lot of time and a lot of money and effort into doing what it is that I'm doing. And it's because I do believe in the dream. I believe, you know, anything's possible if you could actually bring people in this world together. But I've watched a trend on Shaziz Radio, as far as you know, how things have gone on with Google, and you know, just kind of suppression of information, the way that we're in search engines where it lets you know what you're exactly what you're looking for. It's really hard to find my radio network anymore. You can get out there if you Google up Shaziz and you can find out different places to listen in and such. But it's not just that. It's, you know, things that are going on YouTube, the way that they do business over there, the hypocrisy of the whole thing. But anyway, what I'm saying is I'm basically trying to renegotiate to whether or not I can even continue to keep on going and do what it is that I'm doing. You know, even though I like to get on here and I like to do these Knights of the Round Table show, it just it takes a serious toll. You know, I maintain 3 websites because I got alternative energy that I want to share with the world. I maintain a YouTube channel, and of course I got the Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of jazz, and I try to help everybody out that I possibly can with information. But as I'm watching all this kind of stuff and I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to figure out the whole deal. I'm trying to decide whether or not it's worth it or not. Because I'm really not seeing things move very fast. I do see things out there. I do see that there are people that are, you know, I guess the terminology would be waking up to the realities of the world. But I'm thinking, there's so much going on in this world, I can't stop it. I just can't stop it. I know it's not all my burden to bear. I get that. But I'm the kind of spirit that whenever I see something like this going on, you know, it pains me to know that I'm helpless to do anything about it outside of the words that come out of my mouth. You know, and I have people that try to uplift my spirit quite often and say, hey, you know, just do the best you can. And that's about all I can do, is do the best I can with what I got to work with. The website, believe it or not, it's actually starting to make a few pennies on advertisement. Not much. When I say pennies, I mean pennies. It doesn't even scratch a fraction of what I've invested in all these years trying to get this thing up and running so that people would have a place to come and talk. You know, work out their differences or work out problems in the world, figure out ways to, you know, build communities and ways to share information and spread it worldwide to try to get a movement going on. You know, I guess I don't know, some people call me a dreamer, and that's why I wrote that little thing that you heard about the dream, and I had a good friend named Kent that read it out. He's got such a wonderful voice, and he put the heart to it. But the thing is, folks, I'm not so sure how much longer I'm going to keep on doing this anymore. It's taken a heavy toll. I just can't sit around and watch this world do what it does and fall apart. I just can't sit around all the time and not know that there's something that I can do. That I can't get in front of the right crowd or a large enough crowd or whatever to, you know, speak some words of wisdom to get them minds a-ticking. And I'm not even so sure how far out my voice even gets anymore because of shenanigans that's been played on the servers and on the website. Been up against it. It's been an uphill battle the whole doggone time. You know, my hopes is to finish out my lab and finish out my mad science and do the radio show as long as I'll be able to, and then kind of move on for the rest of my life. I'm 54 years old, and I'm not exactly sure how many more years this old body can keep on moving, but I'll do the best I can with what I got to work with. So, I'm just trying to make sense of everything, just like everybody else out there in this world. I come from my perspective, from a Christian background, of, you know, a faith that has pretty much been known to be hated worldwide anymore. You know, even at the explanation of why it is that I call myself a Christian and the things that I believe in, as far as that goes, you know, it's taboo. You just can't really talk about it. Folks get mad when you start talking about God. Folks don't want to hear it. A lot of the youth have been steered away from any kind of thought of a higher power or a creator or anything God-related. We've been basically told that science is God, that the government's God, everything but. But once that spiritual foundation's gone and nobody else has anything that makes them feel significant, you know, you look out there into the universe is what they tell us, that there's an infinite amount of stars. There are just so many of them. It's just impossible that there can't be aliens out there. There can't be other lives that have evolved. And of course, you know, they use the word evolved from monkeys or whatever. And so we're just an insignificant piece of dust in the grand scheme of things. It's just, I don't know, man. I just don't know. I want to make this world a better place somehow. One positive pebble at a time. And once again, I get it. It's not my my burden to bear, but that's just the type of person that I am. That I absorb things like a sponge, and whenever I do that, it takes a toll. It really, honestly, does. I'm not out here to lie to nobody. I'm not out here to get famous. I'm not out here trying to ask for money or anything like that. All I want is to gather people together of like minds and talk about things that we can fix in this world and share it. We got so much to offer this world. We got so many let's see if I can get this. Sorry about that, folks. We got so many things that we've been blessed with in this world. When I see these countries that these people are going through literal hell on earth just trying to survive. They can't get the money to feed their families, and you see these children all emaciated, and you see all these different atrocities. You know, sometimes I wish I could just go back far enough to erase my memory of all the things that I've seen. I can't even do that. I want something at least for the moment feels to be unachievable. You can't never unsee things. I can't tell you all the things that I've seen in my life. Can't tell you. Can't tell you all the places I've been. What I can tell you is big portion of it breaks my heart. I thought that maybe I put this this Knights of the Round Table together, and we'd get a some sort of huge movement going on. You know, there's people out there protesting all the time, seem to be out there be activists that could seem to be able to get a lot of people to rally behind them. But I noticed that even the same people that are complaining about how bad the world is, they're not getting together and doing nothing. They're just holding up signs. I've fought with these computers for years. I fought with the trolls. I fought with the censorship. I fought with everything under the sun in order just to try to hold this all together. So, I'm kind of standing at a crossroads. I got an opportunity to try to throw one last Hail Mary out there and see if it sticks. But like I said, I'm 54 years old. That's probably not old to a lot of people, because there are a lot of people that are a little bit older than me that's been around for a while. I pulled out a bunch of different videos and podcasts that just kind of random about everything from the 10 most powerful companies to the top family names out there, the people that are actually running this world. But whenever you get all the way down to the whole entire grassroots of everything, I guess that's probably not the right phrase or whatever, but it usually boils down to the individuals out there that because of the situations that they're in, they go out and they do things that are just terrible to people. And I don't know how to deal with that. You know, I got ideas. That's about all I got. I don't have the transportation to go everywhere in the world, and I'm obviously not the savior, that's for sure. But doesn't change the fact that my heart is what it is. So I'm just I guess I'm kind of venting. I guess I'm kind of trying to sort things out. I've been told that I stand on a soapbox. You know, like I said, I'm not in this thing to get rich. I'm not in it to get famous. I'm not in it for any notoriety. I'm in it to try to gather those brilliant minds around the world, and let's get things done. That's the only reason why I'm here. I got grandchildren, and I think that as I watch my neighborhood, you know, that I was raised in, as I watch it deteriorate, and I see the drugs, I see the violence, I see all the hatred, and I see the moral decline of society, and I fear for my grandchildren's future. So guess what? I moved out to the country, but you know what? It's only a matter of time before the city creeps in on you. I've seen it many times before. You buy your house way out in the middle of nowhere, and the next thing you know, here comes a town, and then the city moves right beside you, and for too long you're living by the freeway. It's just, there's no place to hide in this world. And this doggone thing we call the internet, It's a box I wish I had never peeked in. There's a lot of rabbit holes I wish I'd never gone down. There's a lot of journeys in life that I wish I had never took. There's a whole lot of things that I wish I had never seen. The majority of which I can't even talk about, for reasons that you probably wouldn't even understand. Some of which you might. But nonetheless, it's taking those, when I listen to somebody speak or I tell a story myself, I have to relive that whole thing all over again. And I guess I've, over the years, turned into a marshmallow, so to speak. I just ain't got that that extra defense that kind of makes you where you can shrug things off. When you stand by and you see the things that I've seen, when you have to bear witness to that firsthand, and you're able to somehow or another push your way through it and be professional about it, it's basically like you have to disassociate yourself in order to not be who you really are inside your heart so that you don't crack. You get time to calm down, you get time to think it all through, and then things just start to run through your mind about how in the heck can these kind of things keep going on in this world. I'm just really surprised that I haven't cracked yet. There's people in Africa that could be living in really nice homes, and they could be well fed, they could have fresh water, but there's companies and governments running amok over there, oppressing those people and plundering and pillaging their land. That's just one place. There's many nations out there that considered the most poor nations in the world. And the shameful thing about it is they're standing on resources that if they were able to use, they could uplift their society. They could uplift their people. The governments around the world don't want these nations to be uplifted. Those folks out there that believe in man-made climate change, I'm sorry you do that. I'm sorry you believe in that, because that one particular lie has oppressed so many people in this world beyond all imagination. That one particular lie has made it so that nations can't ever catch up. That one particular lie has put our children in great jeopardy and great fear. And it's not an accident. It's not an oversight. It's not a misunderstanding. It's a way to control people's minds to get them to comply. Those folks who live in those folks who live in areas with really nice homes, or even middle class, or even less than middle class, just basically have a home and maybe even a TV set and a refrigerator. Some of them just lucky to even have food, are doing so much better than some of these people in different nations. And that's sad, folks, because of all the resources that we have been gifted, as far as I'm concerned, by the creator of this world, there's no reason why anyone in this world should ever have to do without anything. But that's what we see. We see companies like Raytheon and other military industrial complex style companies that making money hand over fist, building missiles and airplanes and weapons of war. We see people making money hand over fist on selling guns and drugs and ammunition, basically feeding a fire from both sides of the fence so that people will constantly be pitted against each other. We see people trying like heck to get to the United States because obviously it's not very good where they're at. Unfortunately, the United States is not the answer to their problems because when they finally do manage to get here, they find out it's not the heaven they were promised. And for those of us fortunate enough to be here, I guess the word would be, we're not as fortunate as you think. Because between the drug industry that likes to keep us sick so that they can make more money off of us, the medical industry that basically is the butcher shop that you go to get something chopped off or cut out or irradiated, the for-profit prisons that are the modern jails, the way that the police department has turned into armed revenue generators for the state as opposed to peace officers, the way that government corruption is just bounced back and forth all day long on the mainstream media, most of which you can't trust because it's propaganda. And then we wonder why our children are in the state of affairs that they're in. We wonder why our children come home confused. All of these problems, every single last one of them has a solution. Every single one of them. I'm just not the man to lead the charge. So I'm going to probably ride the last whatever time I've got left on this particular broadcasting service that I use and try to make a decision by that time whether or not I'm going to move on to this little more high-tech version. It's a little bit more expensive, but it actually gives you some tools that we don't have access to now. And maybe, just maybe, if I can do that, then we won't have these problems where people come on to the website and they can't seem to get the radio player to work and all that kind of stuff, because every time I get the system set the way I want it to, somebody comes along and does something crazy and makes the change, and then it all has to be recoded and all that kind of stuff. Folks, it's been an extreme battle in order to keep the Knights of the Round Table and Shazoo's Radio and the Mad Science Show on air. It's been extremely hard. I don't regret doing that. It's been an honor and a pleasure. I just don't know how much longer I can continue. Anyway, Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's good to hear you.
Yeah, I've been kind of down in the weather, but I've been listening, and I know where you're coming from, she says. And yeah, you're right. You have put over a decade into trying to make a change for the better in the world, as most of us here. That's what we're all about. That's why we're here. And it seems, I have to agree, that at this time, it seems that the odds are against us, that what we do, the things that we try to impart as far as knowledge and solutions, it seems that there's not a big uptake of this information, that people are more willing to wallow in the fear and in the, oh my goodness, you know, what can I do? Lake that has been created. But the thing of it is, Shaziz, is that you've been doing this for many, many years. And your voice has always been one of good food for the spirit, of a positive message that empowers, that teaches us, that shows us that there is goodness in this world still, and that we have the ability and the power to show the world this. Maybe that's the most important work that we could possibly do, is to let people know that there is still goodness and love in this world, that people still do care. I don't really think that we can change the course that is set. I think that the only thing that we can be at this time is a clarifying voice of illumination, so to speak, so that people realize that this is not our destination. Okay? That these things that are here, they are to take us away, to make us forget who we are and where we come from. But there are people like you, Shaziz, who've never forgotten, who never will forget. And it's what you give to the people that is food for their spirit that is the most important thing. Not that we change the suffering. And yes, indeed, there is great, 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 great suffering. There always has been. From the time of the control, it has always been a suffrage. Life, it has never been for those who are true in heart and mind and body. There has never been an easy path. Corruption allows for that. Corruption of the soul, corruption of the spirit allows for all of these things that make life here pleasant, you know, and fruitful. But we're not made for this world, Shaz. You're not made for this world. You are greater than the parts of this world. And you are here not to be a part of the world, but to show people that there is something more than this world. I think that's what you've done. And to me, there's no greater thing that we can do in this walk, is to show people, to illuminate for them that there is a place beyond that we're going to, that this isn't the do-all be-all. This is temporary. We're just moving through. But we need to let those know that are here with us moving through that, hey, you're off track. Come on, here's the path. See? You know? And that's what you do. That's what you have done. You've done nothing but give. Give of your mind and your body and your soul, your whole life here, you know? And of course, I can understand and understand the pain that you're going through. I've been there, you know? But I am so honored to be a part of your walk. And I see you for who you truly are. And if I could, I'd take your pain away, but that wouldn't do anything for either of us, would it? And, you know, no, I love you, Shaz.
Love you too. I think probably the most thing is I try to tackle the beast in my mind by myself too much.
Yes, we all, you know, in this thing that we do, where we're trying to light the way with what knowledge we do have, because each of us has that gift of knowledge. That's something that that we bring that is specific to the whole. And sometimes it's really easy to forget that, that little light that we hold is so important, because we look around, you know, and there's a lot of darkness out there, but the darkness can't exist as long as you got that little light, right?
No, I agree 100%. That's why I kind of tried to keep on rolling as far as I could. And you know, I started looking into things a couple days ago when I started researching for what I, you know, usually try to start talking about a particular subject. And the more I saw, the more I dug, and the more, you know, I seen there's people out there in the world, you know, there's folks out there, young men and women that basically even have their kids out there trying to mine for gold in areas where they might get a few grams of gold after it's all said and done, but the cost is so crazy as far as, you know, it's the people losing their lives, the mercury involved in the situation, the negative aspect of what they actually have to go through in order to try to feed their family, and somebody else out there in this world is actually getting wealthy off of their deaths and their misery. And you know, I talked about it way back. I said that, you know, I saw this one particular video where there was a whole bunch of adults sitting around at an outside restaurant, and they're all having dinner, and there was a bunch of children that were running around picking up scraps off the ground. And that hit so hard, it hit so hard to home, because I was raised in a family that my father, he wasn't a very nice guy. He didn't take care of his family. He wouldn't give my mom any money for groceries, and my mom had struggle, and she didn't want to tell my grandfather at the time how hard things really were, because she didn't want him to worry about her. But we ate a lot of strange things when we were kids that you know, basically kept us alive, but Grandma and Grandpa kind of noticed, and we were getting a bit skinny. So, you know, they kind of forced the issue and figured out what was going on. But because of the way that I was raised, that, you know, I got this sensitivity to people, you know, basically messing around with somebody else's food. Don't deny people of food. Everyone needs food to live. And as I'm sitting here watching these adults sit around and have dinner, and these children digging off the deal, I'm thinking to myself, my God, if I was there, I would get up from that table, I'd get as many kids as I could around that plate, and I would let them have my meal. I wouldn't be able to sit there and do what these people did. I don't know how any human being could sit there and watch children suffering to that extent. They were basically treated as non-human. They were treated like animals. And so, you know, that's just one little tiny thing. It just doesn't even scratch the surface of all those doggone rabbit holes that I started looking into from that point on, about, you know, the state of the world, how people were, you know, being treated, and, you know, the children not having the needs met, and, you know, even the adults. There are adults out there in this world, all over this world, that can't even, you know, don't even have an education, that don't have things, and they live in countries that have all the resources necessary to uplift every single person and that entire nation to a higher living, of higher standard of living. And we got organizations like the United Nations who, you know, they talk a good game. You know, they talk a good game about bringing human rights around to the world, but they don't never seem to get anything accomplished. Between the political, between the governmental red tape and all the craziness that goes into ensuring that these people can never get a higher level of, you know, a better lifestyle, it's a dang shame. You know, and I can't necessarily sit here and say that I need to feel shameful because I had a good meal today or had a good bed to sleep in. I feel extremely fortunate, but at the same sense, those voices, those cries, those tears, they just won't stop ringing in my head. And as much as I try to suppress it and think that, you know, we're on our way to making the world a better place, you know, it just isn't moving swiftly enough, I guess, to satisfy my spirit. My spirit has been completely shredded on so many different occasions, and, you know, I think that sometimes I'm in too deep. I think sometimes I'm the wrong man to do this job because it just eats me alive. Now, I'm not overstating it when I try to tell people that I've invested a whole lot more than you can imagine into the Knights of the Round Table and the three websites that I maintain and the YouTube channel for the alternative energy and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not saying that for, you know, some sympathy or, you know, recognition. I'm just saying that, you know, I've done what I can do. I can't do any more than what I've done. If I had $1 billion today, I'd be broke tomorrow because I'd be out there taking care of people. That's just who I am. I just don't know what I can do any more than what I have done. But I'm coming to a crossroad to where I've got to make a decision for myself and my family, whether or not I'm going to continue to keep doing what it is that I do.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Barbara. How you doing?
Hey. Hi, sis. Hi, everybody out there and people for People Land and wherever you're listening from. I kind of got sidetracked. I was in dreamland, a very deep dream. Dreams are getting weird lately.
Yes,
I actually was dreaming the other night of the coronavirus. That's not a good thing. Well, I'm listening to you, my dear brother. I know this is a. I know you can't stop the pain. I get that. Oh boy. You know, I think it's rough when you're a sensitive, loving, caring person. It's not an easy path for those who care. It's like the ones, we look at the ones who don't care, who just, you know, like you're talking about, little kids scrambling around for crumbs, and they're just, you know, whatever. Oh, there's so much. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to talk about what I have been looking at recently. And I'll sit there and I will bawl my eyes out. And I just shake in my head. I just bawl my eyes out. And, you know, it's about the children. It's really always about the children, you know, and I don't even want to talk about it, but I know what you're feeling. And certainly I've been there before. We've had this conversation before over the many years we know each other. It's like you're hanging on the cliff by your fingernails and you don't know if your wings are gonna spread when you let go, right? And you're gonna soar and continue on. You know, I've been there and I know it's a huge decision and a challenge to make, and we've talked each other out of it, you know, many times, haven't we now?
Oh, and, yeah.
Yeah, and sis has talked me out of it, I've talked her out of it, yeah. We talked you out of it.
I tell you, we have all of us on this show, and I even have to give credit to the listeners on there. They have been with us through thick and thin, and we have literally been down some rough roads together, and I'm so thankful and blessed that you know, even to be a part of this entire deal. It's just, you know, every once in a while I gotta stop, I gotta catch my breath, because I find myself going in too deep. And some of the things that I've witnessed is just this last 3 days of research that I've done, it just, oh man, I could feel my spirit, I could feel it sinking. And
I'm gonna Rob just popped a little note. Thank you, Rob. He says to you, Shaz, he says, I hope you don't give your show up. You're so important. I mean, I don't know what I do without you and these shows. And look at Rob, you know, I mean, people, they're here. They're lined up listening. They come here to listen to you. We're just your guests. Thank you. But we feel the same way. I mean, I don't know what I would do if you'd say, well, I'm giving up the, giving it all up here. I've certainly had that message coming along in my own mind, and I kind of really struggled with that over time. This, just not recently, by the way, and Patty and I talked about this, you know, we've talked about it. I said sometimes it feels like it's some kind of an energy that wants us to stop, that wants to take us down, that doesn't want, you know, the love and the compassion and the caring. And I believe that truly. I have to go with that. That is, to me, what is really pushing at us because of the way things are. We know we're in a spiritual battle. Well, you know, if we're in a spiritual battle, does your spirit get tired? I don't know if the spirit gets tired. I think we may get tired. I think we may feel sometimes, you know, so challenged and pressured, and we come to that point. I don't think the spirit within us gets down. I don't think that spirit within us wants to give up. I don't feel, I don't believe that that spirit has anything to do with our human conditions that we suffer. I just don't. Because if you say, you know, you're a child of God, and you believe that there is the light and the spirit within you, and I kind of have to connect the two of the light, the spirit within us is connected to the Creator who made you. I can't imagine that God is telling you, you know, okay, it's not working, you know, it's too much, you might as well just give up now, put it all down and just walk away.
Well, you got a good point. I'm looking at a possibility that if I move forward with everything, that we will actually have a mobile phone app that we can, you know, have people, if they want to be able to listen in without actually having to come to the site, they could download this app and they would be able to listen anywhere in the world they wanted to. And, you know, it would give us unlimited listeners and unlimited bandwidth and a huge auto DJ storage space for times when we didn't have live broadcasts going on. So I've actually been looking into upgrades to the site.
Wait a second. You've been looking into this recently?
Yeah.
Okay, and now you're being hit with, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, this is too much. I'm thinking of, you know, my giving up, and, you know, my spirit is failing here, and you're just doing that now.
Well, my mind and my heart says to proceed forward and to go full force and just, you know, let God do the rest. You know, that's
I'm gonna say it's your spirit talking to you there, my dear. That's just my perception. Because the mind is the one, the monkey mind, and all the confusion in the mind and the indoctrination is what the mind owns. The spirit doesn't have any indoctrination. The spirit is pure and brilliant and bright. It's the one with, you know, connected to source. That's the foundation. That's why we talk about get right with your Creator. Get your spirit strong. Get strong. Build your strong foundation. Your spiritual connectedness is the key here to everything. It's a different frequency. I have to talk about the frequency, because when you have that connectedness, that's strong, and you've put everything outside of you, like the monkey mind and the fears and the doubts and all that crap, is indoctrination. When you are one with the spirit within you, you are one with your Creator. You are one and solid and strong and powerful. But when you're that way, you also draw, you are an attractor, you draw that which does not want that light, does not want that love, does not want, you know, the things that you have in your heart spirit, the love and compassion. So there's that battle. There is that spiritual battle that I'm talking about. This is it, right in front of your face. I have to come to that conclusion myself over and over and over again. I probably will, because this is a powerful energy entity that does not want the goodness, does not want compassion, does not want joy, does not want this love. All the things the Creator gifted us to be able to do, to actually be able to be, okay, that's our nature, our true nature, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's to me, that's the spiritual battle. I think it's your mind talking to you, and I think it's the outside sources, those entities. They don't want you doing your job here so you can reach more people.
Well, I believe you're right, because it seems like the harder I try, the more seems to come against me. And, you know, I say me, but I mean us all together, because it's, I'm not the only one
yep.
who's had trouble with the websites and trouble with the
yep.
way that I feel. It's like, you know, the dark side. Every time we start trying to talk about solutions, we usually have issues, you know.
Well, it shows us.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it shows us how desperate they are and how they're ramping up everything. We knew that was going to happen. We knew that you know, they need to keep their position. Anybody in this type of position where they scarf down the sacrifices of children, they scarf down the sacrifices of fear and anger and rage and all that, those are food. Anything that has that kind of power and control and food, they want to keep it. They want to keep their position.
Well,
I'm in service here. Aren't you in service? I'm in service to
Creator. I'm thankful to actually be in service. I'm humbled to be, you know, servants to my fellow brothers and sisters. I mean, I feel like I've been truly blessed in my life. I'm trying to give back as much as I possibly can, and then some if possible.
I'm not saying that because I'm someone special.
No,
that
I
I'm
get
claiming
that.
I'm better or special. I'm saying this because I found this out finally after vacillating back and forth and trying to do myself in and trying to stop and trying to give up. And I've been there so many times, and I came to the realization with a big epiphany. A big one. Wait a second. You know, when Spirit talks to you, when you say, I'm done, and Spirit says, hold on there, wait a minute now, and they start showing you a download of things, the miracles, the blessings, the awesomeness, the amazing things, the joys, and when they start showing you the history of the things that they have, the Creator has gifted you, and I call it a gift of miracles, you go, oh, yeah, you're right. let me get back to reality here, this reality. Not that other, you know, indoctrinated. That's not the real thing here. So if you believe in your Creator, you have to go sit with Creator. Tell your story. I had to do it. Sit down and talk to the one that you love, the one who loves you, and have a conversation and ask for the help you need. You know, we all need help.
We got a lot of static coming in from... Patty, is your mic got a loose connection?
Not that I'm aware of, but
I don't hear any static.
I can hear.
Yeah, so
is it coming from me?
I don't know. Mute for a second.
I'll mute too.
Well, whoever just muted, that's
where
it was.
It's Barb.
It's me.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
not now.
Oh, okay.
It's gone now.
Yeah, it might be a... I don't know. Are you using a wireless headset?
No.
Are you using one with a plug-in?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it might be just to kind of push it in and twist it a little bit so that gets
okay.
a good connection.
I will do that. Okay. I didn't. Sounds like a coffee grinder. Wow. That's crazy.
Are you hearing it now?
Because
we don't hear it now.
It seems to have gotten better. Anyway, you know, that's what we got duct tape and bailing wire, but that's what's held us all together all these years. You know.
Well, get your duct tape out, get your bailing wire out, get whatever you're going to need to hang on here, because this is... Listen, I told people many years ago, if you think it's tough now, if you think this is beyond your imagining... Just wait, because this is basically just a practice. This is just practice, my friends. So if you're in it for this battle, And I'm going to say, because you're in service to everything that you love so much, you know, and I'm talking about the children, I'm talking about just this creation, you know, and the one you love, the one who created you, better hang on. You better get strong now, because they're going to keep pummeling us. We're really heading for rough times, rougher, I think, and I'm not dooming and glooming here. I'm just saying,
because this is a
spiritual
right.
battle is what it is, and when your spirit's strong, you are going to be the one battling the most, is what I'm saying.
From everything that I've seen and researched, we're on a path to sure destruction, and that's why I've been so passionate all these years and doing what it is that I do. You know, that's why I'm so glad that each one of you ladies show up over here and, you know, we talk about the things that we talk about. Sometimes we talk about subjects that are really hard to talk about. You know, we've gotten emotional. I especially, because I don't know why it is that I just
have to say I don't have that perspective. You know the stuff I research. You know the stuff that Patty and I research.
Oh, yeah.
I talk.
Yeah.
And you too, and others. But you know what? I never say we're on the path to destruction. I don't let those words enter into my mind. I know it's tough. I know it's bad. I know it's serious. I know all that stuff. But I don't say we're on the path to destruction. I will never, ever, ever let any of that come into my mind. It's tried.
I see your point, and that's probably, you know, one of the things I'm probably calling in a lot of grief myself, because you know, your words are powerful, and if that's what you talk about, that's what goes down, and I should have known better than even say that to begin with. I just don't want to see, you know, all this suffering for the rest of my life. I want to see some people get the help they need. There are groups out there that are really seriously trying to do things to make the world better. There's people out there trying, going out of their way to feed people and try to make things better. It's a few minority of this entire world that makes it so bad for everyone else out there. Look, I don't care if somebody's rich. That's, you know, hey, I'm happy for them. They're rich. But if you're rich and you're telling all the poor people that they need to be the ones getting out there and solving all the problems, and you're not doing nothing, you know, that's the difference. That's the difference, because I've seen people who'll give you the last shirt that they own off their back to help somebody else out. I've seen people give their meal and go the rest of the day hungry because they wanted to make sure that somebody else was fed. I've witnessed that sacrifice. I've done that sacrifice. You know? That don't make me any better than anyone else. We're all in this boat together. But what I'm saying is that it just seems like today's day and age, it doesn't seem like the norm, because of all the people being desensitized to other people's pain, and people being basically trained and indoctrinated to be, you know, selfish and greedy, and, you know, the things that they teach in schools, and it goes on and on. And our governments, it's shameful how many of the things that they can do and say, and they never have to pay for anything that they do or say. It's the people that are paying for it. You know, if it was you or I, we'd be so far underneath the jail, we'd be speaking a foreign language. But, you know, outside of all of that, you know, we still have hope, and we still have solutions that if we could get that ball rolling. It's almost like we're trying to push this giant ball up the hill. If we could just get it over that peak so that the rest of people can see it as it comes by, I don't think that a lot of people know that there are solutions. You know?
I just want to talk to the fear porn, because we keep identifying. We know there's fear porn, and it's fear porn is big time. It's over the top. So if you're looking at, I'm looking at it too. We are looking at what is in that area, but there's other sources, as you know, too, and there are good things happening. And there are people that are being arrested. I mean, we've identified those, too. We see people being taken down, and we see the mess. We see the evil. We see the you know, what is going on, you know, and the fear porn is ramped up so big that other people, indoctrinated people, are then taking that fear porn and then they're posting it. So then somebody else is posting it. So this is part of the plan, is to push this on us so that we come to the place where you're struggling with right now. That's what fear porn is about. That's what it's supposed to do. And so, you know, we know that. But there are good things happening. There are people that are being taken down and arrested. There are changes that are, people are waking up. You know, you don't see that on the mainstream media, but it's out there. We talk about it. You know, and so, you know, we have to look at that too. We talk about the evil plan. Well, part of the evil plan is to push us off the cliff so we shut up, you know. And so I just want to read something here that some wisdom here that V says. She says, and aren't we just so lucky to have the tough path? And she says, LOL, we have won. We're just in for a messy cleanup, you know. And that's the kind of spirit I like to see. And that's the kind of, you know, solid foundation that keeps us going. Somebody else might come along and say, that's, you know, that's crazy, that's stupid, what are you, you know, all fairies and fluffy crap, you know, because they're having a hard time and they're indoctrinated to believe in the fear porn.
Yep.
So you're going to have that, you know. But if you have that inside of you, that's a powerful foundation. That's a very powerful foundation, and we need that to get us through this rough time. You know, and that's why we talk about build that foundation, you know, that have this kind of belief that V just said, aren't we lucky? And we won already. And you know why I feel we won? Because we know our source, we know where we're going, and we know why we're here.
Yeah.
I do anyway.
Well, you know, I guess that kind of goes with that Valley of Blessings thing that we talked about quite a while back, that those times made us who we are today, and so I'm thankful that I went through a lot of hard times, even though, you know, obviously nobody wants to do that, but I'm kind of satisfied with the guy that I am today. I think I'm okay, but, you know, it's not about me. I'm trying to get this... Whatever this is inside me that's screaming to get out there to help the doggone world, I'm trying to get it out there as far as I possibly can. You know, whether it be throwing a note in a bottle out in the ocean hoping somebody will find it, or shouting from the mountains and writing whatever I can down, some good positive words.
Well, you know, so Patty said something a little bit earlier on the Skype, maybe we're not here to save the world. And, you know, I have struggled with that myself, and I've talked about that on the shows, how I was reprimanding myself, like you are, thinking that I wasn't doing enough, you know. And, of course, then that made me feel really bad and worse, and why am I here? Why am I bothering? I should just give up. Nobody's paying attention anyway. You know, I mean, we've seen it. We've talked about it over and over and over again. And I had to come to the realization, well, as a matter of fact, it was a message from Spirit that said to me, okay, you know, back down, back off, you know, get off of that high expectation, you know, little stand there, and know that if you touch one person, you know, like that pebble in the pond, if you touch one person, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, tiny mustard seed, okay, you can move mountains. Well, I didn't get that message from Spirit. That's your message, but I'm using it today. But I got the message, if you touch one person, you will have done something in your life. And the reason I was told that was because that one person then carries the message or carries the words or whatever it is to the next person and the next person and on and on and on. Plus, if you are holding that love in your heart and not the fear and not the giving up, if you are holding the love and compassion and that spiritual power, that vibration, that frequency is so much more powerful than actually having a room full of people sit up and listen to you and say, I hear you. That's the difference is what I'm talking about. We are talking about our understanding about frequencies and energies and the power of those. So the power of your words, even if you sat somewhere on your land and you started talking to the world with the love and compassion, those words would go out into the whole of the realm, and they would touch people. you may not see it. Well, then you're going to be disappointed. Of course you're going to be disappointed because you're indoctrinated that there's not 50,000 people listening to you that you see. This is what I'm saying. It's like, I'm going to say I had to get off my high horse because I was beating myself up, ready to give up because I didn't have, like, you know, 15,000 people because I wasn't on, Oprah Winfrey. Or I'm just using that as a, you know, because that's kind of like how we get. Well, nobody's paying attention, you know. I'm not on the movies and nobody's seeing me, nobody's hearing me, so I might as well just give up.
Yeah, that's, it makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense to me.
I'm just saying, it's the same pattern. We've all gone through this very same pattern. Now, when you say, you know, you want to save the world, I'm just going to use that statement. So, okay, well, because we're up against something really heavy here. We're up against something, right? And so you have to be very careful about what you say. If you make a promise, you know, I've had to go through this. If you make a promise to Creator, you know, it's like when we say in our culture, when you step on that red road, the Chunkaluta, the red road, you are going to be challenged. All manner of things are going to come at you to knock you off of that pathway. It's the same thing.
Well, that makes perfect sense. You know, I think I am going to move forward. I think I am going to try to go for the... I'm going to throw that Hail Mary out there looking for the best because... I've been spending the last several days not just doing research into what's going on out there in the world, but I've also been doing research into how to make this website and, you know, its affiliates better and give us a little more reach with some cool tools and stuff like that. And I think I found the right company to do that.
I want to say, when I hear you say, okay, comes to my mind when I just heard what you said, I think I'm going to go forward. Okay, you better get your battle gear together, stronger, is what I'm saying.
You're definitely right.
Just saying.
It's time to armor up because if I go in this direction, it's coming. And I know that. I know that.
If the Creator is calling you to do this, I would ask first. I mean, you know, I know your heart is good and you want to do this, but just double check, okay? Just sit down and talk to your Creator and double check, is this what you want me to do, you know? And
yeah,
you get the answer one way or the other, will come, you know it. So if Creator says yes, that's what I put you there for, well, you better gear up your battle gear, get your stuff together, because, you know, that's, you're stepping up the plate here, you're raising the bar.
Are you ladies going to want to cross that line into that battlefield with me?
Oh, you're asking
right
us now.
Yeah. Hoo hoo. All right.
Well,
I would be honored to stand beside you in whatever fight you chose to pick, because it would be an honorable fight. Just saying. I think of all the people that we come in contact with, including ourselves, I think the greatest message on a regular basis, the most empowering, the most enlightening, and giving us a perspective that is really important. I think that you fit that bill. You're number one. I always have. It's why I've always supported you. And your message has always been consistent and about love, you know, and that's why I'll always be there for you, because I don't think we can lose. There is no loss, because this world is as it is, and it will be as it's supposed to be. We're greater than that. We're more than this world. And to be able to stand in honor and in love throughout this whole thing we call life, and keep that perspective, it's an amazing thing. Because this world is made to tear us down.
V says you have a lot who will join to be in that battlefield with you. So
Well, I appreciate that. And what you explained to me about what she said earlier, that that made a whole lot of sense. It made a lot more sense than I can explain. It just, I'm always amazed by the folks in these chat rooms. I'm always amazed by the love and the brilliance of the way that these shows take on a life of their own. And that's what gives me hope for the future, because I think that if we can keep doing what we're doing and throwing these positive pebbles out there, it's worth it. It's worth it to me to do what I do behind the scenes in order to try to keep this ball rolling, because I mentioned one time I would really love to see a youth version of this Knights of the Round Table, because the youth is really in trouble. We've got young men and women in this world that are so misguided, that so lost, that I would really love to see them come together and actually talk about things, you know, in this world, that ideas on how to fix them. You know, we've been, of the older generation, we've been down some roads, and so we've gathered a little bit of wisdom here and there, and some, you know, good ideas, and researched a lot of solutions, but the younger generations, they're going to be the ones that take over when we're gone. And so, if there was a way that we could put together a youth version of the Knights of the Round Table, that would be so much well worth all the effort all these years. Because it's for them that we do this job. It's for our children, our future generations, that we do this job. And it is a job. You know, if anybody can say they really seriously enjoyed doing this, because sometimes it's not such a joy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm saying when we're all together, it is a joy. It's an honor. It's a pleasure to be able to sit here and talk about things and point out solutions. We have a lot of laughs together. Sometimes we get angry together. Sometimes we cry or whatever. It's what families do, and that's that connection that I want the rest of the world to feel. I want the rest of the world to feel what it feels like to be one of the Knights of the Round Table. You know, it's old King Shaziz the Terrible. He's just that funny guy at the other end of the circle. So, you know what I'm saying.
Well, I feel like when we talk about the people here that join us on People for People, I don't see that as random. I see everything as, you know, there are no coinkydinks. So, you know, I look at that. I'm very grateful for those who show up here, and I know their presence and their input, and their hearts are good, you know, and it's not just by chance that they're here, or us as well, you know. We kind of like hooked up together here, and every time we do a show, no matter who it is here on People for People, you know, you have the Healer Show, you have Jerry's Show, we have all these other shows. There's a good vibe, good energy happening here, you know. There's concern, and there's love, and there's caring, there's information, there's guidance, you know, there's insight, there's wisdom, there's all this stuff here is available, you know, on People for People. And I don't think that it's random. I don't think it's by coincidence. I think everything is that great plan, you know. And they're here, standing here, sitting here listening to us for 2 or 3 hours, you know, everybody out here. You know, that says a lot, and they have good input, and they have good insights, and they have wisdoms, too. So, yeah, we're all in this together, and to me, it's a beautiful thing, and like I'm saying, when somebody goes missing, we've experienced, you know, we have all experienced here on People for People, spent time, sometimes years with someone, and then they're missing, they're gone, and I feel it. I notice it.
Yeah,
it,
I agree.
You know,
I've even reached back, you know, through, you know, Skype to some of the people from the older radio networks just to check in on them, see how they were doing, and say hi, and you know, that kind of stuff, because they started off with some good ideas and hopes and aspirations.
Well,
and
I've had people in my life, you know, that you thought, well, we're close, and so on. You go through a lot together in life, and then they just up and disappear. I've had that happen over and over and over again. I've had that happen with my own family, my own siblings.
Well, I hope I hope to never be one of those.
Well, I'm just saying, but I'm not. Here's the thing. sometimes people have to move on.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're getting a message that they need to move on, okay? And the way people move on, unfortunately, and that's the indoctrination, I think, is they just disappear. That's not a fun experience, but okay, you know, I'm not upset or, you know, whatever. I just sometimes it's kind of a little stunned there, like, wow, you know. But I also know that creators, you know, creators at work on all levels, that's how I look at it. It's not for me to point fingers at someone. You know, it's the journey we're all here on, and sometimes we have to take a sharp left, you know, or a sharp right, or drop out for a while, or we're called somewhere else, you know, and maybe we need to learn better communication. I believe that. Maybe we need to learn how better to be in healthy relationships rather than just deleting people, because that's the, you know, the thing today is, I don't like what you said, or I disagree with, there you go, bloop, delete
yeah.
you.
I've never been able to do that, you know, even if I get upset at somebody or, you know, we have an argument or disagreement, I've never been able to just say, you know, hey, look, now that I don't like what you said, I can't be your friend anymore. I just don't, you know, I can't do that. I've went back and tried to make amends with people that I feel like, you know, did something wrong against me, but it wasn't, you know, prior to that. You know, there was something that I found worth hanging around them for. There was, you know, the real person, you know, not the mistake they made, if that makes any sense. It was the real person that I you know, fell in love with, that I liked, you know, that kind of deal. So I understand what you're saying.
I've had experiences where people just disappear, you know, and then I've had another type of experience where, I mean, I'm talking years go by, and they show up and they say they'd like to talk to me, and then they explain to me what happened. They explain to me that they had a perception or a belief or something happened to them that was, now they realize after years, was not right. It was off. It was wrong. It was, you know, like a warped idea or warped perception or an indoctrination. I'm using the term indoctrination, but they actually came to see. Now, that was big. That was happened with one person only in all my life here, and you know, here I am at the 77 mark, and that's not a lot of percentage there. But I also feel that if I can look at my behavior, if I can assess and reflect upon my behavior, and if I can honestly say to myself, I did the best that I could, and I, you know, I didn't deliberately hurt anybody or harm anyone, but sometimes we do. But if I can look at my own life at this stage, and I can look back and assess it, and I can say everything that happened was really a gift, no matter what it was, but I can have to look at the people that I've been involved with, and I know that they may think occasionally of me, or I might pop in their mind, and they would have to say there were some good things there, is what I'm saying. You know, it's like, I think that it's how you live your life in the end, when you stop and you turn around, and, you know, it's like the elders, the grandmothers, our ancestors meet us and say, well, hey, how'd you do? We gave you a job to do. How did you do? You have to look at that, and you got to say, well, yeah, how did I do? And that's the most important thing, because what we're doing here in this timeline is the most important thing. That's going to be our legacy. That's going to affect all things that we love. And when the ancestors ask us, whomever we meet, you know, in my tradition, it is the grandmothers and the grandfathers, you know, they're going to say, hey, granddaughter, grandson, we gave you a job to do. Now they're talking for the creator, okay? They're not the only ones, you know. They work for the creator, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, well, they work for the creator, and so they're speaking for the creator. So, in other words, even though it's the ancestors, or even though it's the grandmothers and grandfathers, they're speaking for the creator, the great spirit who sent me here, who gave me a job to do, gave you a job to do. We have to look at that. When our time comes, we're going to have to look at that and have no regrets. I mean, people on their deathbeds, you know, I've had stories of, you know, one fella in particular who's had a terrible, awful relationship with his dad. Well, it wasn't a relationship, it was a horrible circumstance. And when his dad was dying. He's the only one of his siblings that showed up at the bedside. And that's when his father said he loved him. And that's when his father said, asked for forgiveness. You know? Because he realized when he was there lying on that bed, ready to go, he got it. What he did was wrong.
Yeah.
And all those years he couldn't say to his own children, forgive me and I love you.
Yep. I've been around some situations like that, I can tell you that. But look, I think I've made my mind up. I'm going to move forward with Shaziz Radio. I'm going to try to make this website the best I possibly can, so that even if we don't succeed in the ultimate goal, or ever even get to experience the fruits of our labor, I'm going to do this thing because it just feels right. You know, and when I think about what you was talking about, all these people that show up in here, how you think it's not just a coincidence, it didn't just happen, I think that's a pretty profound thing. And the things, the energy that I feel talking with these people, you know, and having them talk with me as well, they're on the round table, they're not on the air, most of them don't want to come on the air, but just the mere fact that they show up in the chat room, that's why I always called you know, them, the honorary knights of the round table, the ones that actually get the courage to come on the air and talk to, you know, the people out there. Those are what it was said, the knights of the round table. But I think we're all in this together, and I think we're in it to win it. And so to me, that makes it all worthwhile. And the kind thing that Rob said earlier, and the things that Chris Maresh has been saying in the chat room over at Shaziz Radio, you know, that's the kind of things that, as much as I hate to say it, it needs to be said once in a while, because that kind of feeds the spirit a little bit and lets you know that it's not all for naught, if you understand what I'm trying to say here. You know, I don't need nobody to stroke my ego. I don't need nobody to say kind things about me, but it does lessen that pain that you get whenever you look out there in the world and you see what's going on out there. You folks don't realize how much you mean to me. All of you. And these troubled times that we live in, I know there's a solution. I know it. And, you know, I call myself a Christian because I subscribe to the words that a man named Jesus said. And he did say that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. And that's what I'm testing that faith. I'm attempting to move a mountain. Because the mountain that's out there before us, doggone it, it was a turtle that opened my eyes to things that it's just hard to explain, but it gave me a closeness with this world that we live in. It made me see the world in a whole different perspective. It made me realize so much about myself and so much about what we have been given. These people out here that are in need, we have what it takes to give them the needs and to meet their needs. We have all the resources in this world that we live in to take care of these people. But we got to start that wave, even if it comes from one little tiny pebble that works its way into a tsunami of love that crosses this world, and it's undeniable by those out there that are suffering. I know it's possible. I just, like I said earlier, I'm like a sponge, folks. I sit there and I see all these things. This last 3 days, the things that I've been researching about different nations out there, and you know, I just can't sit there and see children in the state of what they're going through out there, even the adults, and not be affected by it. It's like putting your heart in a blender. Not a pleasant thing.
Well, Gaz has something he says here. I don't know if you read it, but it says there have been many occasions when we all feel like we want to chuck it, Chaz. He said, chin up, lad. Been there myself a lot more times than I perhaps mention. But we pick up the reins again, head down, and get on with the job at hand. Gotta keep on keeping on, bro. So, you know, we're not alone.
That's why I love that boy. I'll tell you what, he sings good too. Did you ever hear him sing?
Oh yeah. I have heard that man sing.
Yeah.
Creator gave him a beautiful gift.
I'll tell you.
But I want to say something about the wind thing, okay? This is just my perception of things, because when I just get a little energy glitch when the word comes out, I'm here to win, signed up to win. So I'm looking at that little energy glitch around that, and I'm not reprimanding you, I'm just going to say what I feel for me personally is I feel that, I'd like to win, but that's not coming into my mind at all. What I'm here for, I finally realized after many years, is to do a particular job. I'm here because I signed up for this, okay? The end result is not in my hands. The end result is in Great Spirit's hands. So I'm going to say whatever happens, okay, it is meant to happen according to Creator. And the win is in the end when I'm back home.
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
That makes sense. You know, I just think about all this stuff, and I'm just amazed.
And if you, again, I have to say, you have touched me, and I would, I don't know what I'd do with it if you say I'm done. And well, you've touched me. You know, you really have touched me. You know, and are you happy with that? Are you satisfied with that? Because
yeah, I am.
I'm just saying, I feel like, hey, I'm important here. To you touched me, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you ladies, you make it so worthwhile. Just to, even if we just sat around and had conversations, you know, to me that is. All the doggone, if the word therapy makes any sense, it's therapeutic.
Well,
to sit around
you.
With
you
wonderful
know,
people.
We love you, and I mean that, really. I don't tell people I love them, Rand. I just don't do that. I really feel love for you, and that, you know, so I don't say that lightly.
And I really mean that as well. I took myself down a dark road for at least the last 3 days. I mean, and it just it took its toll on me.
You had to go there. It's like, okay, just go take a peek. Let's go take a peek now. Maybe Shaz needs to take a peek, because maybe Shaz needs to know he's got to get his gear stronger. He's got to get that spiritual battle gear on stronger. He's got to get his faith stronger. He has faith, but okay, well, let's check him out. I've been there, okay? So Spirit will send me off someplace to see the darkest, most evil thing and be attacked spiritually and physically and emotionally just to show me, because I say I know there's evil out there, and Spirit says, oh, yeah? Well, you're going to take a look at it, so you're going to really know what you have to do to fight this. You're going to really know. What saved me in every circumstance was my relationship to Creator Great Spirit. That's the only thing.
You know, hearing you say that in that perspective, it makes perfect sense. Man, I tell you what, I let my guard down.
Well, I'm going to say you didn't let your guard down. Don't say that. You just, like my elder, Wallace Black Elk, said to me, you know, he said, no, you just went sightseeing. Okay, so I was like, oh, you know, weepy, I did this, I did that, I made a wrong turn, I shouldn't have done that. He said, no, you just went sightseeing. And we laughed.
Well, most people go sightseeing someplace beautiful. Why are we gluttons for punishment? I tell you, some of the rabbit holes that I know you ladies have been down and I've been down, man, those are things that sometimes I just think it's just better off not to see. But then if we don't have no way to, you know, put the
gauge. You don't know how to gauge.
Yeah.
What you are up against, and we need to know. So we need, okay, in history and in the world the way it is, you need to know your enemy. Let's just say that. You know,
yep.
I don't like to, but And there's oftentimes there's false enemies put before us, and we listen because we're indoctrinated, and we go do a job that is not a nice thing. Okay? That's one thing. That's one level. Okay? But we're talking about different levels here. We're talking about different realms. We're talking about a different experience altogether. We're talking about the unseen in some manner. We're talking about evil. We're talking about people who have sold their souls to the devil. We're talking about stuff that is unimaginable, okay, and that we are being, you know, pitted against, we have to stand up to, that we came here to do battle with, okay? And I'm not in fear of that. And I've met stuff that, you know, as you have and Patty has, that would put the fear in anyone. But something came inside of you, as did me, and as did Patty and others I have spoken to and have know their story. And that is a power beyond our imagining. And that's because I have my connection to create a great spirit and the love that I have for this creation. Okay, that is a power. And so, unfortunately, there are many people who are lost. They've been so severely indoctrinated that they can't identify something that is evil and dark or something that's messing with them. These are our brothers and sisters. You know, we can't say those are the bad people and say, well, I'm better than them. I'm not better than them because they're for the grace of God go I. I have to say that.
Yeah.
Those words are powerful. When you really listen to those words and you think on that there, like there, over there where that person is doing such bad stuff and harmful stuff and violent and evil stuff, there, for the grace of God. In other words, my relationship with God, with Creator, okay, I could have been there. Therefore, the grace of God go I.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, think about that. Those words are so powerful to me, and I had to come to be compassionate to people who are doing horrible things, because if I'm here to do a job for Creator, I'm not here to judge. I'm not a God. I'm not here to judge others. I'm here to do a job to pray for them to the Creator, that the Creator helps those people who are brothers and sisters. My prayers are powerful. I believe in the power of prayers. Some will say, well, you could pray till you're blue in the face for those people, but they're not going to change. Well, you know what? They're not God either.
That's
they
right.
Don't know. They don't have a clue what's going on with other people and what Creator is about.
That's why
I say it's like the people saying doom and gloom and we're all going to die and the coronavirus, this is it, this is the end, blah, blah, blah.
Well, personally, I think the coronavirus is a scam, and I got my reasoning for it, but it basically boils down to, you know, basically getting into the digital currency, and there's been a whole lot of talk about that here lately, and, you know, it's something that basically would give them a lot more control than if somebody actually has cash, because, you know, there's counterfeiters all over the world that are really super good at replicating, you know, American currency and other currencies, which destabilizes that currency once you get it out there. Even though it's all based on funny money anyway, it still makes a big difference. So when you put out something like a coronavirus and you scare the world into believing that it's a lot worse than it is, and you see people running around with masks on there, you know, and you look at all the statistics about more people dying from the regular flu than this one over here, it's not good for anybody to die from any disease, and all precautions are good, but what it seems to me is that it's pushing people towards not wanting to have any kind of physical contact. You know, like if you go to the convenience stores and you pay real close attention, when they hand you your money, they'll drop it in your hand. They don't put their hand in your hand and hand you that money because they're afraid.
That happened to me today. I noticed it very clearly. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, they're afraid to touch you. And I'm like, you know, that's seems like it's severing the human connection with each other. You're afraid to shake somebody's hand or whatever, but it would be one step closer to getting us to accept a digital currency or even, you know, a microchip, because they've been talking a lot about these doggone chips where you don't have to have a credit card or nothing.
The WHO just put out a big notice about the money, don't handle money, use credit and whatever else they said. That's what they're now advising people, the WHO, the World Health Organization. So you're right, and then we talked about this. This is part of that. It's part of getting everybody chipped, you know, eventually. So just get the chip. You don't have to touch anybody. You don't have to touch a doorknob. You don't have to do nothing.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, all these companies are getting by with basically plundering and destroying the environment. And I'm asking myself all the time, where are all these environmentalists? All the people out there that are hollering about everything being, you know, so terrible.
They're all dead.
Where are they?
Because they've been taken down, not to be gruesome, but... they're being shut down. They're certainly not on mainstream media.
No,
mainstream media won't say, hey, let's interview so-and-so because they're for the environment. Let's interview so-and-so because they know how to, you know, maybe help everybody to, you know... make a garden or feed themselves. You know, they're not going to be on mainstream media. They're silenced.
I often wonder how many people actually do research in the products that they buy to find out, you know, under what circumstances.
Here's something for you. I don't know whether it was Lysol. Somebody's been putting this up on Facebook. Okay, so in the ingredients, I think it was Lysol. It tells you certain things that it will help to eliminate. And one of them, in little tiny writing, is the coronavirus.
Oh, so it's a good sales pitch.
Well, it's been in been on the bottles for I don't know how long then. Who pays attention?
The coronavirus has been around for a while.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so...
Yeah.
These are things that people are suddenly starting to notice because now they are looking at... What's the ingredients, you know? What is this used for?
Right. It's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah.
Well, we all know all the conspiracies about Monsanto, which is not a conspiracy. They actually do research in genetically modifying nature's plants in order so that they can profit on it. We know about medical industries and how they they're not there to cure your illness, that they're just there to mask the symptoms and make money off of medication and stuff. We know about all the different issues with different companies and corporations that go out there and they go into foreign lands and they pay these people. For example, Walmart will sell you a shirt for $14 to $15 that the person who actually made the shirt made 3 cents off of it. And that's all verifiable fact. If you really want to seriously look into it, you can find out how much the person that actually had to make the shirt actually got paid wages for doing it. And these companies, they get by with it. And they get tax breaks, they get all kinds of benefits. And, you know, so as an informed consumer, if you understand what's going on out there, you can decide from that point on who you want to spend that funny money to, you know. You can use that money as power to support companies that you've done research on that you know are doing things to, you know, either help the environment or to help the homeless or to help the poor. There are good companies out there. We need to, if we can figure out who's really good at researching stuff like that, see if we can talk them into making up a list of companies that they research into that they know are doing good things for, you know, the world. And by shifting our money that we go out and buy things over to these individuals here, you know, that's going to help them to, you know, expand their business better, and it's going to help benefit because those other companies will have to either clean up their act or go out of business, you know. And even when it comes down to elections and stuff like that, I've heard so many people say, I don't vote because it's pointless to go out there and do that. But if you go out there with an informed, knowledge in your head about who you're voting for, what they've done in the past, and what they stand for, and even if that person doesn't win, but you keep setting that precedent, I'm only going to vote for the people that are doing the good stuff, I'm only going to buy from those companies that are doing the good stuff, and I'm only going to support those organizations out there that I know for a fact are doing the good stuff. We've seen time after time people have put charities together, and they go out there and they get people to put millions of dollars down. You know, and these people, they take a large majority of that for advertisement to get more money in it, and very, very little bit of what they say that they're going to do gets done. A very small fraction of what you give to those people actually make it into the hands of the people who's really in need. So if we could build a network of people that could actually, you know, if you tell me there's somebody in your neighborhood that you know for a fact that needs help and that you'd be willing to, you know, go do a little shopping for them, I could send you the funds to go get those folks that food. You see what I'm saying? Where it's taking out the middleman for the most part, except, you know, using a network of people that we know we can trust to actually get things done. Now, these folks, if you go out there and look in California, it is mind-blowing. Here in the United States, how many tent cities are popping up everywhere. How many people are literally on some serious drugs, and that the districts, like what Nancy Pelosi, her district's a mess. And these people are literally dying in the streets. And the state is actually giving them clean drug needles to do their drugs, and the police aren't even enforcing the law anymore because there's no point in it, because whenever they do take them in, instead of getting them into a medical facility where they can get treatment, they turn them back out on the street again with no hope for, you know, any kind of help. You know, and there are organizations out there that are willing to try to help these people, but these people have to know that they exist, for one, and they need to be shown, you know, hey, look, there's a place over here, they'll give you food and a place to sleep, let me take you over there and introduce you to these people right here. If you know for a fact this organization is doing the job that they say that they're going to do, that they're there to help the people, then getting these people in contact with them to show them that there is help out there for them. You know, there are some people out there who just choose to be homeless. It's understandable. Who would want to live in a system to where, you know, you're a working slave is pretty much what it feels like anymore.
You know? Well, we have a lot of veterans who come home with PTSD and severe issues from the wars, and they living on the streets or hiding in the mountains or whatever. So, you know, but I want to say something about the strange things that I've noticed that are happening due to this coronavirus. So, okay, suddenly now Silicon Valley is completely shut down. Okay, it's done. Everybody is in Silicon Valley is told to work from home. Okay. I find that very fascinating. There was a satellite image of China over China in the Wuhan Valley specifically showing the before and after of the pollution over the China area. There's like no pollution, okay, because there's no industry happening, there's no traveling, there's no factories open and so on and so forth. So it's all clean.
Well, I watched a documentary to where a guy actually went to that one area that you were talking about, Wuhan or whatever, however you say that. He literally went there, and just like you say, they got people that are quarantined that are, you know, they can't even leave their buildings without a special permit, and they're only allowed to leave so many times a day. And he was showing a picture of the freeway that would normally be like constantly busy, only one car coming down it.
Well, there's nothing. So the satellite imagery showed a clean, completely clean, free of heavy pollution, right?
Yeah.
So the other thing is the movie industry, right? The film industry. What's happening there? The economic toll of the coronavirus on the film industry, okay, and on the entertainment industry. The planned April premiere in China for Daniel Craig's final stint of James Bond, it's called No Time to Die, has been canceled.
Wow.
Think of that title. And it was going to open premiere in China. But I'm just saying, I'm looking at this stuff, so all of these industries, the polluting industries, this silicone, and it's just interesting because Trump was recently talking about Silicon Valley in not a good way. And next thing now, they're being all told to stay home and work from your home.
I feel like the system's getting ready to pull a fast one on us. And a lot of people are going to fall for it because of the way that the media portrays everything with all the fear-mongering and everything. They don't want Trump to get a second term. That's blatantly obvious. And out of desperation, they're going to try to pull every trick out under the sun. The guy they're putting up there for the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, he's got a lot of stuff, shady dealings behind the scene. Of course, granted, they all do, but nonetheless, he don't even appear like he could even beat Trump. But if he does somehow or another do it, he don't seem to me like he has the intellect to be president, and that for the most part, he would just be the man up there in the suit that they could manipulate around to doing whatever they want to do.
Well, here's my theory, if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, it's all fixed. Joe Biden is going to, you know, basically be the nominated one. Then he's going to disappear, or he's going to suicide himself, or whatever's going to happen, and then basically, but he'll have called in a running mate. The running mate is either going to be Hillary or Michelle. I'm just saying.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
But he'll just disappear.
Yeah.
Like McCain did. Or suddenly he's got a boot on his left leg and then a boot on his right leg and he's got a brain tumor and then he dies.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but they all have. Here's the thing. There's indictments out for all these people. There's an indictment for Biden. There's indictments for Hillary. There was indictments for McCain. There's all these things pending. And so there's going to be a play here. You know, this is a play. This is what's going to be. Just pay attention. It's a show. Yeah, let's hear. Patty has a theory, too. Let's go with our theories.
Yeah, well, I'm very similar, except for I see that, like all the other socialist-backed parties across the globe and all the other governments, they're all falling apart. They're all disintegrating. They're all shooting themselves in the back of the head a couple times. And, you know, I think it's all planned. This has to happen if they're going to bring in this, if they're going to bring in the technocratic system that this globalism is going to run under. This is all the virus, the economy, the fact that there's a quote vaccine already set for trial, and this is within the next 2 months that they've already got this vaccine ready for trial. Even though they say that the virus itself has already mutated into another form. This is, you know, and follow the money. Who makes the money? This is all technocracy in the making. And the Democratic Party was made to fail. It was made to become so idiotic and so out of control and so extreme that no one in their right mind would be willing to go down that road, because once you get, people accept a lot of crazy, but there is a line, and the Democrats stepped over that about a year ago and are going full steam ahead. They are known as the crazy party, and they're not making any qualms about that. They're supposed to fall apart. And the next party that comes up is going to be the one that will take the Republican Party down, but it'll be the globalist party, the technocrats. And this is a system. That's my theory. This is
that
system.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, basically you put the clown show on. Nobody's going to vote for the clown show. They're going to vote for somebody who thinks is doing a good job. So we're getting suckered again. Oh,
well,
man.
Yeah, and you know, Trump is a capitalist, and capitalism is what is fueling technocracy. Only the companies, the corporations, they don't want someone making the laws for them. They want to be the ones making the laws. That's where this technocratic system comes in, because they have the power. They hold the money. They hold the availability of a country's survival in their hands, because they're the ones that produce. And you've got people like in corporations that are like Google and Yahoo and Amazon and all of these other online big giants, Twitter, people like this. These are technocrats. They believe in an elitist-led system because they know better than you what is good for you. And so we have your technocrats that come from the computer industry and tech industry and stuff like this. And then you have science that also knows exactly what is better for you. GMOs are better for you. Grasshopper burgers are better for you. They're the ones that are going to decide where you live, how you live, when you live, why you live, and what you're going to live on. This is the system that is coming. Science and the corporate structure merged together. The engineers and the scientists are going to decide life on Earth because they know better. I'm done.
Well, so far their track record stinks. I mean, these people over there that I could keep saying about how Africa is probably one of the most mineral-richest continent on the face of the earth, and these people are living in terrible conditions, and these companies out there and governments that are coming in there supposedly to keep the peace, they're there just to plunder, you know?
Well, that's what technocracy is all about. That's what that structure... you are considered a human resource, and that's all you're considered to be, is a human resource. And if you are needed, if you can fill a niche, then you will be favored for a time until something better comes along, another human resource that is better than you. This is how technocracy works. And we all have always been considered human resources in corporate nature. This is not a big step for them. And it's not a big step for us, because we're already, the people are already jumping on the bandwagon and saying, hey, put that in my hand. Hey, I want a credit score. Hey, I'm a good guy. Look at me. Give me points. You know, and it's going to get worse. People are going to run and offer themselves up as sacrifice for this technocracy, because it's going to be the only way to go. They're going to destroy. See, the Republican Party will be next, because it will prove also to be as horrible as the Democrats were, because they truly are.
Yep.
It's a game being played. So they're going to be the next ones to fall, but by that time, the whole world government situation and the riots and the shortages and all the other things that are going to come down with this economic and the virus and all of this stuff is going to come down, and then we're going to see the rise of the technocracy, where science and engineering will say, we've got to do something, and it'll happen.
Well, they don't honestly want these people over there in countries like Africa and even parts of Asia and other places around the world. They don't want these people to be uplifted, because if they ever got control of their own resources, they would be a power to be reckoned with because of the financial situation and stuff. So I honestly believe that they keep that place pushed down, that climate change scam that they got going on. They got those people over there believing that they can't build industries, because if they do, then they're going to destroy the world faster. And a lot of them over there don't have a formal education of any type. I think they said the maximum, the average person over there maybe gets 3.5 years of schooling. And, you know, that's it. So they're intentionally kept dumbed down. The ones who do come up through the ranks, they end up getting corrupted by the system. And so, you know, it's a real mess. And we got to be...
Well, if you look at the educational system today, Shaziz, it doesn't matter how many years of college that you've got, how far you've made it up that tree, you're still going to be dumber than the people who did that same thing 40 years ago.
Yep.
Because you're being compartmentalized now. Your education is in specific little venues, narrow bands of science and engineering and things like this on purpose. And if you want to go higher than that, then you have to perform better. You have to pay more money to be educated in that system. So only the higher ups in the food chain are going to be able to apply for those. And that's the way it goes. Look at the normal 4-year college degree. And what does it cost you? $100,000 or more? You know, who can do that? Who can do that? And so that's another way that they control everything. The education that we have of people today is deplorable compared to what
it was. It's not education, really.
Right.
And the thing is, well, they've done away, you know, they've really trashed any trade colleges or trade schools. You know, they made sure that that was put on the low rung of, you know, any type of education. You know, people that go to a trade school to learn a trade, you know, they're the dregs, the bottom feeders, I guess they call them. So you have the trades, which are important, you know, people who know how to do things, you know, there's not enough people that are, you know, signing up to do plumbing or you know, taking on these types of jobs. The other thing, yeah, the education system basically was set up to put people in debt and teach them nothing except, you know, how to get on the gerbil wheel and work for the elite. You know, that's the system. This is really pretty messed up. You know, they set it up very well, but, you know, we see clearly, more clearly now what's going on. But they're taking down everything. And then don't forget the depopulation issue with this, what's going on here, you know. And don't forget the vaccines, you know, the push for that vaccine. Mandatory vaccines, because this is terrifying. You know, if your neighbors aren't signing up for this vaccine because they might get coronavirus, and then you're going to get coronavirus, so you better, you know, get in line.
Yeah.
Step up to the plate here.
It's all disturbing. You know, I've been doing some research. I'm not going to go into too detail until I've actually got hardcore facts, but there's some companies to keep an eye on, Raytheon being one of them. And they had a contract to make missiles for the U.S. Navy, and it's really interesting story when you go back and actually look into it. And then there's a millionaire out there called Robert Bigelow. He's got some history involved in that kind of deal as well. It's amazing when you do a little bit of research about things that you're going to find out, but until I've got actual fact to put something down on the table, I got a feeling that by the time I finish with this research, it has to do with things in my past that it's going to be like a bombshell when it goes off, because there's things that the average Joe ain't aware of that has to do with technology, your phones, your internet service, your the connections with things, how certain things either do or don't work out depending on who you know and what you know, and kind of like membership has its privileges kind of thing. I notice that kind of this ain't making a lot of sense to a lot of people, but I've had some really weird things happening here recently, you know, with you know, some things I've been looking into, and I put my phone number down for something that me and my wife was going to purchase, and the address that came up for my phone number was the Pentagon, and I'm like, what the heck is that all about, you know? And I started looking into other deals like that, and even trying to put my phone number in a different way, and why the heck the Pentagon would show up with my phone number, you know, but it gets so twisted and so deep because Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all these different social media platforms out there, the things that they are gathering up, the information would blow your doors off if you really understood what the heck they're actually doing. There's a whole lot more under the surface than meets the eye. And the way that if you go out there on YouTube and you look up on different things, you're going to find a lot of videos out there. How to hack your car, how to pick locks, how to hack somebody's routers and their phones and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, why would anybody put that kind of information out? You know, okay, if you're in law enforcement, you would want to put information out so that you could, so that people could protect themselves, to know that there's different ways that these people can basically steal your identity. We already talked about one at one point, this software where they can literally make it look like you said something that you didn't say. It's your face, it's your voice, but you're not one that did it. And that don't even scratch the surface. So when we get into this technical realm that we're all heading into together with all this different technology we have access to, the smart meters on your pole outside for your electric and all this kind of stuff, the things that they can find out with the systems that are in play right now, the things that they the software that they have available. There's one piece of software out there that was literally you can take and put somebody's cell phone in there, and you can track that cell phone to every place that they went on Google Maps. And then you can pull up pictures of what they sent to any social media from that position, and it will have a timestamp and a GPS signal of where they were when they actually sent that out. It's some scary stuff. So, you know, there's a reason behind the scenes of why it is that they're doing what they're doing. They're profiling and cataloging every single man, woman, and child in this world for some specific purpose. Of course, we all believe that it's got to do with something to do with global governments and, people who are speaking out, activists. You say something out of line, it only takes one person in this world to quite literally, with the power structure in play, to be able to destroy somebody's reputation, somebody's life. There are systems that are set up where, like, if you buy a new TV, I think Samsung was one of them that said that, it's actually in their paperwork that there's a one specific setting that you actually got to go in there and set it to turn it off, because it comes in by default, where they can turn that microphone on and listen to your conversations while you're watching any given show, so that they can supposedly advertise to you things that you like. Well, when it comes down to me and my life and my military background and law enforcement and all the things that I've actually been through in my life, There's some things that I'm concerned about that I'm looking into, and if I have hardcore facts, I'll bring them to the table and I'll tell everybody about it, exactly what it is that I think's going on. But so far in this whole entire deal, nobody's kicked my door in. Nobody's come in here and said that, you can't be saying this or that or whatever, or saying that I'm a terrorist or anything like that. So it's almost as if, even though I have problems on the opposite side of these doggone monitors and the servers, where people are actually physically attacking these servers, which we've had this problem, we've been booted off of air many times. It's almost like there's two sides. One is protecting you and the other side is trying to shut you down. So I think there's a battle going on, like what you hear about the deep state and the doggone government, the ones in the government trying to do the right thing as opposed to what what the opposite side is doing. But I have a feeling inside me that they're getting ready to pull a fast one on a lot of people. And if they ain't aware of what's going on, if they haven't even got a clue, they're going to get blindsided. Because there have been case after case of people taking their automobiles in to get an oil change. The mechanic looks the car over real well and suddenly comes back and tells the people, did you know that you had a tracking device on your vehicle? And that means that somebody, whether it be the actual person who sold them the car or the bank, put a tracking device on that. They had no idea that it was on there. Or somebody else put a tracking device on there to tell every place that they've been going. You can't even drive down the road without having a camera in your face. You can't go to the store without having a camera in your face. And I've seen the technology that actually uses the picture of your face and draws little lines on there and pulls up your entire history, criminal history and everything else, medical records and all. So they're really on their game when it comes down to spying on we the people. And at the same sense, on the other side of the world, there's people out there that can't even get no doggone food. So what makes us different than those folks over there? Number one is we're keeping them in power. We're making them money. Even by us getting sick, when we get in trouble, we get thrown in jailhouse. Doesn't matter what we do, we're making them money. Those folks over there are making them money by remaining in poverty. Because they can get out there and then get by with plundering the doggone resources of those nations. That's what we're up against. And that's why there's so many problems in this doggone world. There's things that's going on, folks. Serious things. And I'm hoping to get to the bottom of some things that's going on around me. But the world out there, you know, it's blatantly obvious. You have to be blind not to see what's going on out there. These people are being taken advantage of, just like the ones that we think we're blessed because we actually have an opportunity to be able to do the things we do. So far, so good. And as long as there's a good side on our side somewhere, whoever's fighting against the deep state in our government, let's just hope they're the good guys. However it works, we got to stay united with each other. We got to stay, trying to, keep some good positive messages going out there so that people become aware and start looking into things themselves. I've been down some crazy roads in my life. You know, there's things I can't even talk about. There's things that I don't want to talk about. There's things I wish I could forget. But I still think that there's hope for this world out here. I look at this earth that we live on. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's probably the most amazing creation. There's no way you can convince me it's not a creation. But it's just, we got everything we need. In my mind, I see things like Tesla seeing things. I see things mechanically. I see them electrically. I see them in a way that I wish I could just convey to everybody out there. If everybody had that kind of knowledge, we'd all be working on cool stuff like that. That's my gift to the world that was given to me to share with everyone else. And that's what my goal is as far as the mad science portion of the deal. But the rest of it is that, you know, when you got all these solutions available to you, and you're trying to help or reach out there and put some words of wisdom and motivation to get people to come together and make these things happen, there's something on the other side of these servers is fighting us. It's fighting us tooth and nail. There's something on the outside, you know, in our lives, it's fighting us tooth and nail. Every single time we get close to something that's good, something wants to jump on our back. I'm telling you, these last 3 days of research that I've done, I went down some dark roads. And I saw some things that really shredded my spirit. took the wind out of my sails. It took these two wonderful ladies to get on this radio with me and start talking me off that cliff. And I'm thankful for that. I'm ready to get going. I got my second wind again. You know, I'm going to try to make this website here, Shazam Radio, the best I possibly can. You know, and for some reason, I'm not successful in my ultimate journey of, you know, if I never get to see the fruits of my labor, that's all right. As long as I do the best I can with what I got to work with now, then there's going to be hope. If we can get a Knights of the Round Table, a youth version of the Knights of the Round Table, this deal that I'm working on, this new web hosting or radio hosting deal, it gives me a faster stream quality. It gives me over 200 gig of auto DJ space. It gives me unlimited listeners. It gives me unlimited bandwidth, unlimited DJs. It gives me a radio page that we can incorporate into Shaziz Radio, and also gives us a mobile app that people can put on their phone and listen in to our shows. So I think it's a plus. And I'm willing to do that to keep this ball rolling, as long as I know that you folks want to stick in here and let's make this thing happen. Because at our level right here, we're getting things done. We're actually being successful at this level right here. So if we can break through that wall that's been trying to hold us back for years, if we can keep the positive pebbles going, eventually we'll chip away at that wall and we'll make our way through it. But that's the only way I can see of getting past the dark. That's it. That's the only way I can see is to keep pushing forward. You know, giving up now is like, I think V said in the chat room, I think it was V that said it, giving up's not an option. And
well, we're not letting you give up, that's for sure. I'd find where you live, I don't know.
Drag me back to the microphone, let's get this show on the road.
I'd track you down.
Oh, man.
Well, you know what? I think, you know, I don't know too much about technology. I'm not a scientist. And, you know, usually I get kind of like, kind of like what? When you're talking about your technology and your scientific this and so on and so forth. And but I just, it's awesome to me. I don't understand a lot of it, but it's awesome to me that we have you in our life and you have done these things and are doing these things and can do these things. So that alone is just extraordinary to me. And though, you know, we need you.
Well, we need you as well. We need Patty. We need everyone that's been doing these shows. We need us all to just stick together. We need to build a bond that is unbreakable. I've seen a lot of networks come and go, but I can tell you for one thing that People for People Radio and Shaziz Radio, we rode the storm out, literally. And we're still standing.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of things that tore these doggone networks apart. I watched it way back
well,
from where I started.
Well, the censorship is, they got the censorship, you know, everybody's... Other stations, we know that they're alternative people for,
yep,
you know, quite a few, you know, months and over a year now. They've been struggling and having to do all kinds of different technological stuff to keep going. And you're not the only one. I mean, these people, you know, have been doing this for a long while and have lots of listeners and people there, and they just keep getting taken down. So, you know, we are being attacked on that level. The censorship is, you know, they have somebody was censored for putting up, you know, something about vitamin C the other day on Facebook, you know, the big censor, because it's, you know, whatever, vitamin C.
Yeah, some of the things that they've been censoring is just mind-blowing. It's, like, ridiculous. I mean, there was, if you go out there on YouTube right now, you can find some of the most hateful content, but if you have anything kind of like a conservative view or a religious view or anything like that, it's classified as against their terms of service, which YouTube violates its own terms of service. Now, I went out and did some investigation on YouTube, and I'm telling you what, behind the scenes of YouTube, YouTube's got a dark soul to it. It's got a dark side to it. You can find nasty things on YouTube, and it's mind-blowing. You know, and kids have access to that. Oh, they don't have to verify their age. They just click on, yeah, I'm 18, so what? You know, and you go on down the road and you see some terrible things that kids shouldn't even have their eyes on. And that's against their terms of service, but they censor somebody who's trying to talk about, you know, a religious point of view or conservative views or whatever. It's like what Paul Harvey was talking about. Threaten the TV with dirtier movies and basically do all the kind of, he said if he was the devil, he'd just keep on doing what he's doing. Like, I don't know if any of you out there even believe there is a devil or that you believe there's a evil out there or whatever you want to call it. There's a dang sure a dark side. Because this stuff ain't normal. The things that they're doing to people over there, it's not normal. There's people that commit terrible atrocities and are never held accountable for it. Even our nations, the land of the home, the free and the brave, you know, and the things that we do as patriots to fight for freedom and justice, if we're blinded by, you know, our patriotism and we can't see the writing on the wall of what these folks behind the scenes are actually manipulating people to go to war. We've been in Afghanistan, they say, for 17 years. 17 years of war, and that's just one place. You know, and the things that these bankers and the military-industrial complex get by with, the technologies that they have behind the scenes for those who get too vocal, such as myself and Patty and Barbara, we're a little vocal. I bet we're on the list. You ladies think we're on the list?
Nah, they never bother me. They never mess with me.
Well, maybe there's a good crew out there that's trying to look out for us and give us an opportunity to, you know, keep on, you know, fighting the good fight for good. You know, you can't look at some of the things that go on in this world and not, if you got it in your heart for love and peace and everything, you can't not look at it and say that's not dark, that's not evil. I mean, there's some dang shameful stuff going on.
Well, if you think that you are not on surveillance, that you haven't been surveilled, that they have not got your information, then you're not really looking too far, because if you're on the computer, they've got you.
Yeah.
If you're on a driver's license, they've got you. If you pay rent, if you have utilities, if you buy in a car, if you have credit, if you have a doctor's bill, if you've been hospitalized, they know this. They are telling you that you can protect yourself if you buy this and you buy that and da 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 da. They are telling you that, oh no, we're not really using your information. We don't have your face on facial recognition on the street corner. We're not listening on your phone or your TV. We're not recording anything. We're not watching your type. When you type certain keywords, they're lying to you because they've been doing it. And they're going to continue doing it, and they're going to get better at doing it. So the anonymity thing on the internet is
it's gone.
It's a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, even it's those Tor browsers. The Tor browsers were made by the U.S. Navy, and so if you write a program that can encrypt, you can also know how to decrypt it as well. And so you're not being sneaky. They basically said the reason why they allow other people to use it is so that their agents can hide within the crowd. That was it.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, it does have some good function because it's got the tunnel thing to where, you know, your IP address is so difficult to track down, especially if you got a VIP running with Tor browser. That's really good, but it's not foolproof.
Nope.
Because for one thing, as soon as you go to a website that you're a member, they know you.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if you do any kind of sales or anything online. They know you because somewhere somebody's got a record of you making a payment or you signing in, and that is where they get you.
Yep. That's so that basically, if everyone out there thinks that they're little fish, you may be a little fish right now, but ever come a day that you decide you're going to run for Senate or Congress, they already got your file ready to go. If they don't want you in power, they'll just say, well, you know, I think I might have to show all your friends this right here because let's see what they have to say about that. And obviously you're going to back down. You're not going to want your reputation destroyed because maybe you got drunk and went on a nudie site or something like that, and you don't want nobody finding out about it. You know, that's the thing. You ain't being sneaky. There's just no being sneaky on this web. So it takes a lot of guts for us to get up here and say the things that we do, but we're not saying anything that ain't truthful. You know?
Well, and the thing of it is that it doesn't matter anymore what you say, because they're gonna, you know, if you're listening to us right now, then you're in for the same, because they already know who you are. So it doesn't matter what you do from here on out, so you might as well do everything you can, you know.
Yeah.
No fear, because the time to have, if you were going to be worried about what you say and how you say it and all, that time was about 10 years ago when you could have actually maybe done something about it. But like I said, it wouldn't have mattered because today you can't.
Yep.
So no fear, no fear. Get it done.
That's why I suggested to everybody a long time ago, and I still do to this day, that I need to, you know, they need to start downloading information on things that they're interested, that they need to know how to do, whether it be foraging out in your natural, wherever you live, for whatever, you know, plants that are edible and medicines and stuff like that. Download that information, print it off, that way you'll have it in case they ever pull this doggone internet, because I guarantee you folks, if this internet ever goes down for some reason, you know, there's all this controversy, all this talk about hackers this and hackers that, hackers are out there getting your identity, but if you take this specific one right here, you'll be protected. Ben heard that. But if this internet ever goes down, the one that comes back up isn't going to be the one that's going to be user-friendly, and everybody and his brother is going to know exactly who you are when you come online. That's it. And they're going to do it under the guise of security, just like with this, I feel like this doggone coronavirus, and the same thing with all the other viruses that they tested out there in the past, the swine flu and avian flu and all these different things, that those were basically moving us one step closer to saying, I don't want to touch your money because I might get this disease and I might die, so I'd rather take this chip or this specific ID card that I don't have to touch anybody or anything with in order to get my groceries and such. You think about that seriously and proceed forward with caution when we go into the future here, because I'm kind of under the same impression I believe Barbara and Patty are. We got some roads to go down, and we need to be ready for it. We got to have our spiritual armor on really well. You know, it's what more can I say? You know, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but if you haven't been paying attention by now, you're going to get blindsided, because the things that they're, the technology that we're moving towards right now, incredible technology. You've got already got a cell phone. If most of you got cell phones, most of you got really nice computers, and even if they might be slightly out of date, these things, they do some amazing things. You know, and it's amazing technology that if used properly could benefit the whole world. It could get us in touch with people on the other side that need food, and we could work out a way to get it to them. That's the way I see seeing all this. I see this internet as one of the most amazing research tools in the history of time. We're sitting here, like my friend Steve always said, with the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. Imagine what we could do utilizing that together properly. You've seen a small example of what People for People and Shaziz Radio and Knights of the Round Table have been able to do. We put information and links on there to stories constantly. Barbara or Patty's popping in stories, links to stories about things that are going on out there, and a lot of them I wouldn't even have known. I would have missed completely, but you know, it gives you a perspective of what's going on out there in the world that you otherwise couldn't have got. You wouldn't get this from any of the major media outlets. You wouldn't have got it from even the major newspaper in your local neighborhood, because it's basically planned information that they put out there to propagandize you. Get you afraid. Go take your shot, you know. Hey, take this specific ID and you can get to the airport. Do you know what the Real ID Act? Because you have here in Missouri, you have to actually ask for it, or they won't give it to you. You have to ask for it. And if you don't ask for it, you just get a regular driver's license. But there's a little star at the top of that Real ID that if you got that little star, that means you've been vetted so that you can go to the airport or into government offices. So since I didn't ask for it and I'm not going to ask for it, that means that at some point I'm not even going to be able to walk into the VA. I'm not even going to be able to walk in there to get any kind of services because I don't have that ID. And so where does that leave me? You know, and I won't take it because I feel like, you know, according to my belief system, the mark of the beast is coming and I'm not going to accept it. You have to accept it. You know, I feel like it's a trap. I feel like we're being set up. I feel like we're being guided into just herded in like cattle. And those folks that think that, Americans got it made, well, when they finally get here and they see what's going on, some of them turn around and go back. You know, it's not as good as the people like to think. Sure, yeah, right now I got a nice house. And there's three houses on my property. Two of them are in disrepair and need work on them. You know, I live on 16 acres of land. You know, I'm all right. I'm not starving to death. But at the same sense, I don't want anybody else out here in this world to have to starve to death either. But it cost me every cent that I got coming in order to maintain this lifestyle. Everything. I'm not even by any means even close to being wealthy in comparison to, you know, what we can classify as wealth. I'm not by any means poor, and I'm nowhere near in the shape that some of our brothers and sisters are in other foreign nations. My children aren't digging through the dirt for scraps of food. But there's a cost. There's a heavy cost to sit in this seat. And emotionally, mentally, physically, there's a heavy cost. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say to you. We are truly blessed that we got what we got. I mean, at least we can live our life in some sort of comfort, even though we know we're not truly free. There are people out there that want to keep us in bondage. They want to keep us sick. They want to keep us oppressed. They want to keep us basically under control. And it's all for profit. So, you know, I'm like that Angus cow that farmer's got out there. I'm one of the prime beef ones there, I guess. I got a little tag on my ear that lets me know, you know, who my master is. In reality, my master is my creator. My master is my spirit. And that's the way I lead my life. That's the best I got. And if that ain't good enough for the world, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to do the best I can with what I got to work with. If there ever come a day when I have the opportunity to solve any problem in this world, I'm going to do it. I think that this Knights of the Round Table and this radio network, the Shaziz Radio Network, the websites that I maintain for alternative energy purposes and stuff, I think it's a worthy cause. And that's me trying to do my part. So with that said, hey, ladies, we're getting close. We're down to the wire there. I just want to thank you so much for everything that you two do. I started off in a bad way today, and I appreciate you coming to the rescue. Which one of you ladies want to go first?
I guess I will. I'm just glad that I could. You know, I've been kind of under the weather a couple of days, and so I decided for some reason that well, you know, I'm feeling a little bit better, I'm going to go, and I wasn't planning on joining the round table. I was just going to sit back and listen, and but as soon as I turned you on and I heard what you were talking about, it's that familiar place, you know, that I've been also at times, where I've just kind of felt like, what more can I do? You know, I've done everything, and my message has been the same for so many years. I haven't deviated. I try to share what I know, and it is a knowing within me. And just like everyone else, you know, we're all walking our own paths, experiencing and seeing life through our own perspectives, but the gist of the situation seems to be where we all can put our base, you know, that we are struggling against the powers of darkness, no matter, like you say, how you want to turn that darkness. We are struggling in a world that is very, very seductive and is controlled by psychopaths. And so it's easy for us to be seduced because we're curious to begin with. We have a penchant for newness. We want to see the new thing. We want to experience the new thing. We want to step out of ourselves. We want to think and believe that we are here for some physical grandiose purpose, when it has really nothing to do with the physical aspect of self. It has to do with being able to express that spiritual part of us to a world that otherwise would be devoid of it, because this world is not run on love and good intentions. Life is chaotic. There is no written law that says nature must love nature. We love nature. We have the capacity for love. You know, it's moving through this. It, sometimes things get so heavy and we start to attach these emotions and we don't clear them out. We should feel pain. We should feel the suffering. We should see the darkness and experience that to a certain degree, because otherwise we'd have no real basis of comparison in our lives. We would simply be walking automatons, spouting out rhetoric, and that's not who we are. We're feeling, we accept that the world has some pretty dark, dark, sinister in sad places, but because we're who we are, we also see that there is as much beauty and magic and love on the other side. So it's just every now and then we forget and we stumble and there's somebody there to pick us up. And synchronicity, I guess that's why I was here today and why you've been there for me in the past. You know, just saying.
Well, I'm certainly glad you were. And I'm sure glad Barbara was. You know, I love listening to every word that comes out of y'all's mouth. I mean, it's inspirational. It's the reason why we do what we do, and I got the wind back in my sails. I was in a dark spot. Thank you so very much for being here today. I appreciate it, and I love you. I love you to pieces. What about you, Barbara?
Oh, that's your favorite song, "The Wind Beneath My Wings." That's what we all are for each other. That's the Rose, that Midler song.
I'm gonna throw that in there. I'm gonna play.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we all definitely. Sometimes we feel really, you know, like we're doing this all on our own, you know, and all by myself, or nobody's around, or nobody's listening, nobody's paying attention. Where is everybody? And you know, that's everybody experiences that, whether you're on radio or not, or wherever you are, you know. So, and we do need each other, you know. It's like we have that connectedness, and, you know, I've been feeling like the best thing to do, and we've all said this too, I'm just going to repeat it, is to step away from the, you know, step away from this nightmare, this fear porn. What's going on is going on. What's happening is happening. But what are you doing? Okay, are you stuck with looking at what's happening or in the fear, connected to that fear porn that this is going to happen, that's going to happen? You know, you don't have to be. You know, there are things that we can do. There are many solutions, and people are coming together and so on. And I always say, you know, I think now is the time to break away from that matrix and step away from the fear porn and get busy. You know, find your family, your people, connect with your people in your community. And again, I guess I have to emphasize also, because the main thing for me is to build your spiritual foundation. And my personal experience is, and I'm just speaking for myself, is that is what has saved my life so many times over and over and over again. Even when I wanted to take my life, even because I went nearly off that cliff, like you've been sitting there by your fingernails today. And you're just talking about quitting, but I'm talking about quitting altogether.
Yeah, I've been down that road too.
You know, and I know. And the thing is, what saved my life is my connectedness to what I love, which is the earth, the Mother Earth, children, my grandchildren, and all other children, the creatures, and Creator. You know, but we lose sight of that, don't we? Because this powerful, dark thing that knows that as soon as long as it can blind us, as long as it can close our ears, as long as it can shut down our heart spirit, we'll go off that cliff, we'll stop, we'll end it. And that's our battle. I think that's the spiritual battle. So the solution for me is, you know, we're researchers and we talk on the radio, we do talk about solutions and we do talk about the mess, we talk about the rough stuff, but we also talk about the beautiful things, the things that we can do for each other, like just talking about, well, listening to the music with the megahertz, the healing frequencies, you know.
Well, I've been doing that a lot lately, Barbara.
Yeah.
It seems to
work. I mean,
these
are things, yeah, and positive. Positive talking to yourself. Talk positively. Know that you are a spiritual, sacred being. Even if you don't want to go there, know that science proves that there are trillions of cells in your body that listen to what you're talking about. And if you're in the doom and gloom mode and the self-hate mode and the whatever it is, your cells are responding according to that, just like everything. It's just to me, it's like we have solutions. They're right in front of us. Put down your cell phone for a while. Don't be so addicted. You have the power to do that. It's an addiction. Everything we're dealing with is an addiction. And so we have to take responsibility for the health and well-being of ourselves. And if you have family, when you take the responsibility for your health and your well-being, you're helping your family too. You know, so go to your community, get involved in the community, start a community garden. If you don't want to do that, offer a service to somebody. What can you do? I have this skill. What do you have? Let's pull together. This will help you, too. When you reach out to help others, you receive tenfold. It's really amazing. You know, people are told if you're bored or if you're depressed or you feel useless or life is hopeless, go out and volunteer. I mean, yeah, it takes a lot to do that when you're down on the floor and you're in the dark, but that is a solution, I'm just saying. And we've all been on the floor and we've all been in the dark, but you know, something happens. If you're still here listening, if you're still on the Mother Earth, and you've been down on the floor and you've been in that dark place and you're still here, well, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because there's something going on. The light went on. The phone rang. Somebody knocked on your door, or you just picked yourself up, you know? I'm just saying.
Well, that's
I'm appreciative. I just want to say thank you, Shazen, and my sister Patty, and everybody out here, Angeline, Anjumays, Carlene, and Gaz, of course, and Troy, and V, and Jerry. I mean, everybody that shows up here, and those that aren't here today, I send out a thank you and much gratitude to them, too. Pilamaya, Doksha.
Well, thank you very much. That energy about helping people out, like you're talking about, that energy lifts you up. So when you're out there doing something kind for somebody else, you can feel that energy. You can feel that light coming on inside them, because now they know that you care. Somebody out there actually cares. It's catchy. And that can be just as addicting as looking into the internet. You know, that feeling of what you get when somebody else is happy and smiling, that feels good. That's what we're all about. That's what I believe, anyway. And folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I had a vision here recently I wish that you all could experience, and I won't go into it because I don't have the time, but it was a beautiful place, and it was inspirational to me. In the last 3 or 4 days, I went down a rabbit hole of looking out there trying to see what in the world needed to be fixed, and I allowed myself to go in too deep, I suppose, and you know, like I say, I absorb it all like a sponge. Some of the things I see just break my heart. And I know that this isn't my entire burden to bear. It's just the kind of person that I am. I love you. I love everybody. That's what I'm made of. That's what I believe our Creator's made of. I believe love is the power that where we belong. And if we ever get to go to the place where I was in that vision, it's a wonderful deal. It really is. And, you know, pay attention when you're out there in nature, because something as simple as a turtle might teach you something profound about yourself that you never realized. You're a lot more important than you think you are. And all those folks out there that get sad, come over here to peopleforpeople.ning.com and hang out with us, and hang out with the people that you just heard here on this radio show. Hang out on shazizradio.com. And we're gonna do everything we can to help you and everybody else through all these troubled times. That's what our goal is. That's what our mission. So with that said, if you're listening in and something inspires you, please share the message, share the podcast, share links, whatever. And once I get this, it's going to be a little tricky to do a changeover from where I'm actually broadcasting on my specific servers. If there's a hiccup and it takes me a little bit longer, don't worry, I'm coming back. And I'm coming back full force with some real cool tools that's going to try to help us out. You know, that mobile app I'm really excited about, because that's going to give everybody access that don't have to use these stupid browsers that Google tries to use to try to shut us up when they do. It's going to get around that wall. And you can help us get around the wall. You can help us get more people to come here and hang out with us that need to hear a good message, and just go out there and pass a sticky note or something like that. You know, write it on one of them sticky notes and put it up at the laundromat or on the library bulletin and tell everybody there is solutions available, and these people over here are talking about them. That's what the Knights of the Round Table is all about. I'm going to play you up out here with a song that Barbara mentioned there, because I just really love the way that this song kind of talks about a little bit of harshness and then talks about the beauty that comes out of that. So with that said, take care, everybody. Love y'all.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say love,
together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen, the power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We're the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
It was that ant that stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Old woman!
Man!
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37, I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot.
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 It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routine to call a scene to bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our
many times we give and rise to our quite something able. We'll rock a magic carol, we sing from the diaphragm.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Ho, ho, ho! To survive the terror! To save the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.